Everybody ready?
There we go.
Ready.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Village of Walton Hills Committee of the Whole Meeting of Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 o'clock. First order of business.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlouwski. Nielsen.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All council present, along with our law solicitor, William Mason, and our fiscal officer, Katie Econis. Next item, number three, persons having business before council. Anybody have anything you want to come to the mic and...
Chuck McFeer, 18750 Redwood Road. I'd like some information on the CIC group we have, but it's Community
Improvement
Corporation.
Corporation, yeah. Or whatever. Are we going to continue listing, you know, like properties with them? Or are we going to eliminate that and go back to the old, put a notice in the paper and then bid on it? Take bids for a month? Because we can see by the property of the Carr Brothers, we already had a guy wanting to buy it for $100,000 more.
No, well, there's a little...
How did they come about setting the price? Did they do a market search?
Well, hold on, Chuck. Let's explain. We had no property for sale. Phil, you want to explain the CIC? Let's explain the CIC, because the CIC has never listed any property. But we'll let Bill explain the CIC.
Yeah, the CIC was created in order to allow the village, if a piece of land was available, allow the village to... not just list it for sale and have people make bids on it and make a price, but to negotiate with a potential user so that it brings in jobs and economic benefit to the village. So that's what it's created for, so you can do more with it than just list it for sale. You can figure out who's coming in, what industry or what group they're bringing in, manufacturer, whatever, and negotiate a special deal so that you get jobs and economic development in the village. That's what it's used for.
Okay. It gives you more control. And let me explain. So with Carr Brothers, what happened, it went to the CIC, and we were trying to negotiate. We actually had an agreement, which expired. Okay, that's what happened there. It expired. And part of that was, the agreement was, they were going to move the rock crushing off of Northfield Road onto our old service garage property. Okay, so we were giving a good deal on that property in exchange to clean up the corridor there, move the rock crushing. They, after reviewing the property, they felt it was too much money to invest in that property to move the rock crushing there. So the agreement expired, and right now we still own the property. Okay, so that property is the village's. It isn't theirs, it's ours. And it is not for sale right at this time. That person came in and knows that the agreement wasn't in effect anymore, and just gave us a bid on the property. But you got to look at this is the thing of what we're looking at as council and this body. Yes, we could make some money. They offered a decent amount for the property, okay? But it's about how many employees they're going to put there. So we get the sale of the property, okay? We get a nice amount, okay? Hey, balance our budget, even give us a little extra. But then after next year, if they're putting only four or five employees there, we want to look for the best investment for that property. So that's something council's talking about. Actually, we've had about three or four people interested in that property. Okay, even though it's not listed, they just have given us letters that they're interested in buying it. You know, like you could do that. You could drive by some empty lot here, find out who owns it, call them up, give them a letter and say, hey, I'm interested. In fact, I'll even pay this amount. So that's what we have. We haven't listed the property. We haven't done anything. But that agreement expired, right, Bill?
Yes.
And it was we wanted them to move the rock crushing. They decided not to move it. So that's where we're at there. And that was the reason, because we were giving them, you know, like we all know, we'd like to see that more contained or moved. So that's where that was at, Chuck.
Okay, but in the sales contract, there was nothing in the sales contract for how many jobs they had to provide. Now, when Taylor...
No, wait, who?
Let me finish.
When you say they, just tell us who.
Well, there was when Carr Brothers entered into the contract.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
We entered into what's called the development agreement with them. In the development agreement, it laid out they were going to move one of their companies called Cajun's Trucking from Manaway or wherever that's at. They're going to move it onto the site and bring 20 jobs with them. 17 trucking jobs and 3 administrative jobs. That was part of the agreement.
Plus move the rock crushing.
Right. Yes. Right. The only thing, little disagreement there is there's a problem there with the unions. Carr Brothers on Northfield is union. Cajun Trucking in Streetsboro is non-union. So they don't coexist on the same property.
Well, the agreement, we own the property. The agreement expired. So there's really nothing. So that's where it's at. The property is still the village's. We're going to decide. This body's probably going to decide what to do. We have talked about it.
Well, the thing I can't understand, too, is with the other piece of property we sold, the 2.5 acres on Northfield Road, the appraised value was over $200,000. We get $17,000 for it.
No,
that's not true.
That even sounds bad.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. But Chuck, let's talk about that. You're talking about Daycar Studios.
Okay.
That amount, that appraisal amount wasn't that high. But regardless of that, that's another one of those things they're promising so many jobs and so much income. So going through the CIC with that, you know, it gives you that flexibility. And correct me, because I know Bill understands it a lot more than me. It gives us that flexibility to get somebody in there who will make the best use of that property and give us the most money. Okay, we can sell a nice piece of property, get a nice dollar, and if they put up a warehouse and have 2-3 jobs, what does that give us? We get our money from payroll tax. That's what supports this community, is payroll tax. And so we want to get the best bang for our buck, the most employees, the highest paying jobs. So Daycar actually has been talking with us. They were looking at some tax abatement and stuff, but they have to supply us. They're trying to enter into a CRA, a community reinvestment agreement, and they have to provide us with how many jobs and what the payroll is. And then we make an agreement with them. If they don't meet that, then they don't get that abatement. You know, there are certain things they have to meet and things. So and if that doesn't happen with them, same thing, that property comes back to us. Correct, Bill?
Yeah, in the
that's deed, what's nice about the
CIC. In the deed transferring, that's supposed to happen this week, the deed transferring the village's interest to Daycar, there's a reversionary clause in it. If they don't complete this within 18 months, I think, or 12 months, I don't remember exactly, it reverts back to the village.
Have they started anything over there yet?
No, we're still waiting on their design. Their
and
design,
how long would
they'll
it take
to back
recuperate
to
the payroll tax versus, a higher dollar in the sale price? If we sold that property for $100,000, how long would it take to recuperate that from payroll tax for 5 employees or 10 employees?
There's a misunderstanding as to what the appraised value was. The village bought that land from First Energy for $5,000.
Right.
And they sold it for $17,000 to Daycar. It's not $200,000 or anything like that.
Right.
Well, where did that appraised value came? It was in your, was it in the journal?
Yeah, maybe you're confusing that with the Cajun Trucking property. I don't know.
I have to look back, but okay. I don't.
I can't see
how we can recuperate that money because a regular building lot, a residential lot in Walton Hills, is going for $50,000, and we turn around and sell 2.5 acres, right, for $17,000.
Let's explain it. Look, you gotta understand. That's just not Chuck. There, we have a person, Thomas Jordan, who is an economic development person for 40 years. Okay, that's his title. He was involved in economic development for the city of Cleveland, for the city of Lakewood. He's employed by North Royalton right now. He's done most of these big developments around here. We've had him on a retainer for years. Okay, he helps this body with these agreements. It's not Don Kolograph, who doesn't know anything about that, or somebody, you know, we have an expert in place, and he helps that. In fact, a lot of these grants, these land grants that are written, if communities and their economic development person wants to know how to write them, guess who they go to? They go to Tom Jordan. He's one of the most well-respected names when it comes to economic development in the area. And we have him, and he helps along with Bill, and then Bill's firm, Brickler and Eckler, who is involved in economic development. We use those resources. And that's what we're trying to do with everybody here. We use the resources to the best we can. So there's, in fact, I was going to, when we talk about economic development, I'd like to have Tom come here one night, introduce himself to residents and stuff, so you can put a face with a name. He wasn't actually available to come tonight because I kind of wanted to do that. I know some of the council people haven't met him. And
no,
well, you haven't met him because we had an executive session and he was here. But we use those. So just so you know, there's some, there. When you first look at that paper, it might like, it's a bad deal, but there's a lot more to it than that. It's about bringing in those jobs and getting that payroll tax. You know, it's like when abatement is given, like we did with our house and stuff, we look for performance. They have to, you know, they promise to bring in so many jobs within so many years to receive that. We hold them to that. Our fiscal officer holds them to that. And if they don't perform, then they don't receive it. And we've held them to that. So there's
Mayor,
a lot to it. Go ahead.
If that was appraised at $200,000, I wish that appraiser would come to my house and give me a great appraisal. That's a very...
Well, in order to sell it for $17,000, I wish they'd go to your house because that devaluates all the property.
It's
People tell you, well, I could have bought some.
That's a commercial property.
That's a commercial. That's a commercial property. I'm making light of it. That's a very odd-shaped property. Not everyone could buy it and use it on a commercial basis.
Yeah.
So it was not going to be easy to sell. It's very narrow, and this it fit right in with this woman's initial plans. So we were glad that anyone wanted to buy it at that point, because it's not a regular...
And it's by the power lines.
And it's right by the power lines. So the fact
Didn't they have to have an easement?
We had to get, they had to get...
we did.
There was an easement.
Yeah.
There was, I believe.
It was an easement?
Yeah.
Does it still fit the mandatory 100-foot frontage for lots?
Oh, they have to...
They have to meet everything.
They have to
submit plans and go to zoning.
They have to go through planning commission, and if they need variances, they have to go through zoning. They have to be permitted. We have a whole structure, okay? First of all, we can't circumvent any of that. Okay, there is things that are in place by the state, by the Ohio Revised Code, permitting, planning commission, zoning. Those all have to be met. Okay, that's kind of what's going on with HGE, the one company. They bring us things about buying the property. They already own the property that they bought from Bedford, and we're just waiting for them to give us some plans. Okay, they have to go through the process. You can't circumvent the process, and we're holding them to that. There's a process that's in place, and that's the thing. Now, Daycar, that business, if that were to come here, that's a good business. We're hoping it entices other things here, too. You know,
how many employees are listed on the...
She hasn't given us the agreement. That's what we just said. We're waiting for that agreement to show that. She wanted us, there was some talk about us having some discussion about abatement, but we can't talk about abatement if we don't know what the payroll and those employees are. So we said, Tom Jordan contacted her and said, fill out the forms that you need to fill out, the proper forms, bring them to us, and then this body can talk about it. So it has to be in writing. None of this is just hearsay. There's things that they have to follow and stuff, and you know.
What happens if they decide not to build them?
Just like Bill said, after so much time, then it comes back to the village. Similar to what happened to our brothers. We own that property.
So we're going to go back through the CIC.
If it's appropriate. It just depends on how we approach it. It gives us more, go ahead, Bella, you talk to it, but like you said earlier, it gives us more control. The purpose of having that is more control. We want to control who comes in here. So it's like we change the zoning where the Ford property is. We want to get the best business that's going to benefit this village here. Okay, we don't own the property, so we can't decide on who buys it, okay, all right, or who to sell it to. But we can control it with maybe our zoning and different things, and that's what we hope to do, or the CIC and different things like that, Chuck. That's, we want to get the best business in here to give us the most money, so we don't have to charge our residents, myself and all of us here and all of you there, like we're doing to make up for our loss of revenue because of our businesses.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. And those are all great questions. I don't, you know, those are good. That's, we like to explain it, you know. It's nothing wrong with that. Anybody else have anything before council?
Josephine Morgan, 178508 Road. The value of that property was in a memo issued to all council people May of 2015 by the mayor. And it was, and I have copies, that you had everything on those slots there. And it put a value of all the property that is owned by Walton Hills. That property was $200,000 according to his valuation, $500,000 for the service station, and $1.5 million, I believe, for the 16 acres up the street. So I don't know who appraised that property. Now, having sold real estate, along with working for a mortgage company, I do know that people do check market analysis on property, regardless of if it's a skinny lot or not. Sometimes when the property is sold, the worst lot sells for the most amount of money. So that's where I can understand his concern on that property. I believe that it was offered to the public. You may have gotten equal amount of employees for the company and paid more for the property. I don't know. To me, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush if we could have gotten more money. And with a company that may not have as many employees, but we would have had our money up front. So I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just...
Which property are you referring to? The car, the service garage or dark car?
What was in that paper was the service garage. I'll give you a copy of it. It was May of 15th. He had a motel on the pool.
Right.
And that slot,
right.
Picked up the property. And that was the value that... And it was one from the mayor. It was from the mayor.
Right.
He listed all the properties, and that's what he had that property listed for. The value,
right.
That, along with the service station, the 16 acres, and various other,
right.
Pieces,
right.
Of property. So that's, so somewhere he got that price for it, that value.
Right.
And I do have the paperwork, and we're just going by what the mayor printed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mr. Mayor?
No, go ahead. That's okay. That's
just a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer, but if it was worth $200,000, why would they sell it to us for $5?
I don't know, but I'll give you all the
money. I mean, it doesn't...
Up there.
I don't
but
disbelieve
see,
you, but there's something...
The memo was sent to all the council people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thick memo with a lot
we'll
of information. So if you want, I'll make copies of,
right.
It. And you can review it, but this was what he... said the value wasn't part of his memo. I don't know who did evaluate
it. But what I let's get back to the service garage. We'll go with that one first.
Excuse me.
Part of that, just so you know, which was a real important piece there, was to clean up the Northfield Road. Okay.
So that's
an important piece. You know, we and it's too bad that they can't put that there without spending it. It's supposed to be like a couple million dollars from and where it would have cleaned up that, but also we would want it not to be intrusive to the neighbors too. We understand that because we had a lot of people here that were very concerned about that. And as far as Darkar, I have to kind of think back, but I think they might have been approached us on that property,
okay.
at the time. You know, we didn't like go out and list it. Same thing with the Carr Brothers. We approached them because the idea was to clean up that Northfield Road. You know, there was something in there for the village. Okay, it wasn't just selling the property to the highest bidder. You know, and with that said, that's the point I'm trying to make. We don't want it. Selling to the highest bidder, if that highest bidder happens to be the one that's for the next 20 years going to give us the most money, then we win both ways. We get the highest purchase price. I think if we get the highest bidder, and they're going to give us the least amount of money or not the most money in the long run, we got to look at least so many years out.
No,
that's what we're trying to do.
Saying, that we have probably assumed that since he printed it, that he must have got the fair value of it.
Right.
So we're only going by what the mayor produced, and he had it up there for everybody to read. So we just assumed that he must have gotten fair value for the property from some professional. So we're not.
Oh yeah, no, I realize that, and we don't take it as. We're arguing about any of that.
No, not at all.
We just want to explain it to everybody so we all understand. That's all.
I'll find it.
Yeah. Katie will find the appraisals and stuff too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joseph. Anybody else have anything before council?
Wayne Lawrence, 14770 Alexander Road. A few weeks ago, we had a coffee break in the morning with the mayor.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. And I'd like to suggest that everybody up here should have one to talk to the people in the village. Just, you know, he took the time to do it. And there was a lot of information that was put out there to a lot of people that can't get here at night, and I thought there was a lot of good things, questions asked, and I still aren't convinced that our council is keeping the people informed on what's going on, just like all this mess with the properties and that. You know, I've asked a lot of people how many council people have contacted them just to say hello. And the other person shakes their head, and we haven't heard nothing. The only time we hear from council is when you're looking for a vote. And I'm running out of votes. And you certainly don't want me to run up there. Because I'm from the old country. I do a lot of things on a handshake, and I expect that to work. And like I said, I really appreciated that time that you took. And I never did get my answer on my council at large.
What was your question?
Council at large. I think we should have zones or whatever, so that each one of these people have an X amount of people that they're like our shepherds. You know, we're the sheep, and
I think I gave you my opinion and stuff, which all I can do is give you my opinion and council if they want to talk about it. I think, to my opinion, it's nicer when they are at large, because then everybody's responsible for everybody. So you can call everybody, where some communities we have, because we've talked about this, at least in my 15 years here, where some communities have areas and they're so small, and then it's kind of like, well, that's not my area. You almost kind of get passed, you know, where here, you know, you got six people. I'm sure you're going to get an answer. I feel this is a very responsive council. I haven't heard it. When people call our council, I know they call them back or they go to the houses. I know that, okay? And I know there's some here that are chomping at the bit just to say that. So I think you got you can call all of them. Dwayne, that's the thing kind of nice. But that's just my opinion.
But that was just recently. But I'm talking about, I've been here 23 years.
Right. Same
and
as me.
The only time I've had anybody knock on my front door was, can you vote for me? Can I put a sign in your front yard? And it's like, who are you? I don't know who you are. I'm a newbie. You guys don't know me. I've been here 23 years. Nobody knew me until a few weeks ago.
But this council goes to the events.
Because I stay under the wire, I watch, and I just recently got tired of it. I have a friend of mine that was telling me all kind of stuff. And I'm like, can I believe this? This is a village. This is a little... We should not have these aches and pains of big government here. And I don't like all the secretive things that goes on about selling this and selling that, and you find out about it after it's all done with. The church down there was sold. I never knew it. I'm one house away. Never knew it was for sale. No one ever said anything.
The church was. What did you say?
The one we just bought. Oh. It was for sale.
Nobody knew it was for sale. They came to us.
Yeah, they came to us.
They didn't advertise it.
But we have six people decide this, they're going to spend this kind of money.
That's what we're here for. That's our job.
No. You're here to take care of us.
I understand that, but we're not here to, every time there's a situation that comes up, we can't be polling every resident for every little thing that we've got, so we can't do that. That's what you put us here for.
Just like the camera that's down the street. I don't expect you to talk to everybody in the village about that camera, should we have it or not. But you're going to spend $1 million on something.
We didn't spend $1 million.
Well, you know what? Hold on, let's stop for a minute. Let's stop for a minute. Wait. We all want to move positively forward. Okay, that's what we're here for. And so we're taking, when somebody comes up and says that, we take that serious and we want to talk about it. We don't want to debate it. So if you have something constructive, that's good. Well, tell us and we're going to work on it. I'll give you an example.
I just asked it. I just said, why can't sometime during the week you call me up and say, hey, we're going to get together with some people. You want to get together?
Mr. Mayor,
anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you read this or not. Did you read this in the OWL? Let me read it to you.
Okay.
The Citizens League is hosting an open house, and you are invited, Dwayne.
Right.
Coffee, cookies, and council. When? Tuesday, October 30th. At 2018 from 7 to 8:30, where? Walton Hills Village Community Room next to Village Hall. You are cordially invited to join in a social get-together with members of our village administration, that's us, when you can meet face-to-face in a casual, relaxed, fun setting to get to know each other better and express your ideas directly to your village officials. Please come one and all to get better acquainted with some of those who provide service to our village. Refreshments will be served. Mary Alice.
That's great, but I haven't received this yet even.
Well, I'm just answering your question.
We have them out here.
Don't blame us. You're up here blaming us, and quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
Hey, guys, but we do have them here. We have them at Village Hall, don't we?
Yes.
And you can grab them. We usually have them right out, just in case you don't get one. They're always out in the village there. We keep some owls, right? And then you can grab them, so we try to make sure you can get it. And they have a number. If you don't get it, you call them. I'm sure they'll get you one. We have them up here, Dwayne, too.
I understand, and I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody about what I'm asking, but I'm just saying, if you don't communicate with your people, this is what you get. You get the angry guy like me up here accusing people of things.
And it takes, that's a two-way street. It's incumbent upon me as a citizen of Walton Hills, as a citizen of the state of Ohio, as a citizen of the United States of America, to keep myself informed about issues that are going on. And it's your responsibility to keep yourself informed about what's going on. Yes, we can at times go out and do that. Okay, I'm not belittling that, but it's your responsibility too. If you want to find something out, we have a meeting 3 times a month here. You're more than welcome to come. And you said yourself, you haven't even been here. You've been here for 23 years and you haven't been here. So part of that being misinformed and misinformation and disinformation and non-information is your fault. Okay, because you haven't taken the time to stay informed or get informed. You know, and then you come up here and you blame us for you not being informed.
Well, I haven't. I haven't. Just because I didn't come look for you.
Okay, and just because we didn't come look for you, I didn't come looking for your vote.
Somebody did.
Well, it wasn't me.
In my mailbox, you didn't send nothing to me in the mailbox.
But Dwayne, we're...
I'm not
going
to argue with you.
No, you're not. You're not arguing.
Mr. Mayor.
The tables are the wrong way.
No, I want to...
I've got six people up here that are going to run this village the way they want to run it, the way I look at it. And that's why I've been quiet for a really long time. But all the crap that I've been reading, what's going on in Washington and what have you, I see right here in little Walton Hills. And I'm just sick of it. I'm paying good money to live here.
We all are.
And, sir, just one more thing, and then I'll let you speak. But I would be willing to bet that if we sat down, because I've done this with residents that come up and said, we did it with a resident that has a business, Jennifer and I. We sat down with her, and I will be glad to sit down with you. I would be willing to bet that every accusation, everything that you think is going on, is not. And I'd be very happy, I'll say that to you now, you call me and you set a time and date and we'll get together and we'll have a talk.
Right.
And we'll just sit down and talk. Okay, fine.
I've been wrong a lot.
And that's one thing if you come up and ask,
okay,
hey, is this going on?
I think we need to take this offline because we're not getting anywhere.
Mr. Mayor.
Not to cut you off, not to cut you off, Brian.
Yeah.
But we need to, and I do want to just end on this. And especially when it comes to businesses or personnel and stuff, you know, like with Carr Brothers. Carr Brothers, okay, has been in this village a long time and is a good business to this village, okay? There's some things we'd like to see cleaned up, of course. So when you enter an agreement or you talk with businesses, there's certain things that they want to disclose with the body to be, okay, and not maybe all out in the general public. And we have to respect that. We have to respect our businesses just like we respect our residents. There's times when residents come to us and say, hey, you know, there's this going on, and I don't want to use my name, or I don't want it. We have to respect that, no different than situations with employees. So it's not that we're being secretive. Maybe that business requested that. Maybe that business said, hey, we're not ready to have out in the paper that we want to expand, but we want to get some ideas from council. What do you have to offer? We want to talk to Tom Jordan, but we're not ready. You know. And then we go out and we have it out there and they say, you know, gosh, we talked to you, that's what we agreed to, and there you go, now it's in the media, and we didn't even run it across our board yet. You know, it wasn't even final. Thanks a lot. It's a balancing act here. Not only are you trying to get businesses in here, you're trying to retain the businesses that are here. And retention is very important right now. People talk about getting businesses. Communities are trying just to maintain the businesses right here in Ohio, let alone get more. And so there's a sensitive thing there. There's a respect. So don't ever think it's secretive. We'd love to come and tell you when we hear some good news, but if it doesn't happen or the business is asking us to keep it under our hat, we need to do that. We need to respect that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence, one of the reasons that meeting is going on with Citizens League is the village is still trying to heal. And I understand, and you came up and started with a very positive, thanking the mayor on his morning meeting and stuff. And I agree, we should be outreaching more. But there was a couple of things. As part of Citizens League, we talked about trying to help the village heal by getting the residents to be able to sit down and talk with council, things like that. So that's why we, through Mary Alice, arranged that meeting. So it could be a more informal setting instead of only at the council meetings.
I agree.
You know, stuff. So it's,
I don't want to be up here raising my voice.
No, and we're looking to do this as small groups. So one council member at a table with maybe
right.
A group of 8 or 10 people where you could talk to them, you know, individually.
Yeah, right on the head with the coffee break deal you had that morning.
Yes.
I thought it was the greatest thing to happen.
Yes.
And that was something the previous mayor has been having. I just continued that same practice.
I just never attended India.
Right, right.
That's why we're the thing.
Right, right.
But Mr. Lawrence, I also want to let you know, council now, as the village is still trying to heal, I think the majority, if not every single council member, is on the same page of everything has to be transparent. Everything has to be by the book. I know that Don, as mayor, is making sure that everything goes by the letter to the T anymore. What's happened in the past, we just need to leave it there because we can't change it, unfortunately, as frustrating as it is. And I'm right there with you because I live across the street from that church.
If I don't raise my voice, nobody else is going to.
No, I understand. I understand.
And I may be wrong on 99 of the things I mentioned, but one of them is going to stick in somebody's mind and say, well, you know, they had a point. And that's all I'm looking for.
Right. And I
if I can win one battle, I can move on and win another later on.
Absolutely. Now, I also did two newsletters that I'd sent out each quarter and hand-delivered with either family or friends to every single mailbox in the village, and I am working on my third quarter one, too. So it's what I'm trying to do to try to keep everybody informed as to what's been going on and what's coming up also.
All right. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, we're all residents. I mean, you're looking at us like we're some outsiders that are, we're all residents here. I've been here, you know, lived here 60 years. We all talk to our neighbors. It was just maybe we haven't talked with you. You're down on Alexander Road, okay. People on North Meadow Park. And when I say talk to my neighbors, they might live on Shaner Drive. They might live on Deer Ridge. I mean, it's not like we don't talk with people. You know, we've all lived in this village. We all know our neighbors. Just about everybody here I've talked to here in the last couple of weeks. I mean, so, and yourself. I mean, you stopped down at Marty's and we talked for a minute. But it's not like we're trying to keep a secret up here. I haven't been here that long, but I'm trying to, you know, this idea that we're separate from the village or something, that we're doing something secret, that's not true. I wanted to be on here so I could talk to people and to help this village advance. So, yeah, you kind of made me a little bit mad. And I'm keeping it under control here. I'm doing pretty good. So, just saying.
Let it loose.
I won't be allowed. I won't be allowed to let him
you,
do that.
You don't, yeah. Don knows you don't want.
I'll that. Have to rule him out of order.
Yes.
We don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want to be out of order.
Yeah, go ahead, Kate.
And Mr. Lawrence, I did approach you in the parking lot one day, and I said, please call me anytime. I'm not a replacement for your council people, of course, but I've had very in-depth conversations with nearly everyone in this room. People know that they're welcome to call me if they have questions, if they want clarification, and I'm more than happy to sit down. People here do work. I'm here every day, all day. I'm happy to answer any questions or clarify anything for you, okay?
Okay, thank you. I know this. If I don't reach out. I'm not going to get an answer unless I reach out. But the way it used to be and the way I work today is a lot different. Let's put that way. That's all I can say.
All right.
I know a lot of things have changed, and you've got a lot of cleanup work.
Mr. Mayor, and I've been approached too with you know, this is a village. This is a small village. We don't do business the way we used to in that. And you mentioned about not being at large. I could be wrong on this, but I do believe since we're a statutory village, that controls. And so I think that speaks that we do have to be at large. I could be wrong in that subject.
Unless we had a charter, then I think
unless we had a charter. So that would answer that question, and I think that's the answer to that. I'm not positive.
Right.
But when I'm approached with stuff like that, I've been doing this for several years now, and even from when I started to now, it has changed. You're absolutely right. It has changed because the state does not allow us to act like a little village. They don't. We have to fill out forms. We have to do this. The state comes in and says, you got to do this. You got the EPA saying you got these riparian setbacks that you got to pass. You got to do this. We're not allowed to act like we're a little village and, you know, hey, you want something done at your house? Yeah, we'll send the tow motor over there, or we'll send the backhoe over there and do it. We're not allowed to do that anymore. I know it used to be done. We'll get into a whole lot of trouble by doing that now. Those are the times. They are changing, and that's unfortunate in some ways, and in some ways it is fortunate because we found out, you know, previous mayors long past, you know, did things that way, and now we got to fix what they did by, you know, they'd come over and put piping in somebody's yard, and they'd put a pipe this big, and then they attach one this big with an adapter to this big, and after years, the village has to go spend money to make it right, and we're just not allowed to act like a quote-unquote little village, and that's kind of unfortunate, you know, for the social aspect of things, but that's just the way it is.
It's all good discussion. No, it is. You know, it's... And that's the good thing. Okay. So, any council comments?
Oh, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to make... I don't know if I have to make a motion, but I'd like to move item number 6 above item number 5, the owl and the journal discussion.
Second.
All in favor?
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Motion passed. We're doing that because we're going to talk about the owl and the journal. And that way, if anybody wanted to leave, they don't have to stay for the budget. The budget's pretty dry, but you're more than welcome to stay. We're just going to move.
I'm going to make it really exciting.
Yeah.
This time.
We're doing it. Normally, we start the budget in November. We're starting it in October just because things are tight and there's a couple things coming forward, like the Alexander Road paving project. Done some things we just talk about, so we wanted to get the ball rolling a little earlier.
Mr. Mayor, I did have something I wanted to ask about. Well, I talked about with Katie
For the budget.
Yeah, well, it was about taxes, and you know, it was something that we had talked about.
Okay.
And I don't know if she'd relayed this to you at all, but we were talking about the you know, you're saying about payroll tax. Well, we have the racetrack up here. And we have the transponder building. People are working in there. I've heard everywhere from 3 people to 10 people. I don't know. So we get nothing from that.
Okay.
The track itself operates. I know they have to have a state license, whether they have to have a county license, and whether we as a village could impose that they would have to have a license to race in Walton Hills, because a third of the racetrack is in Walton Hills.
Right.
So, in other words, if they didn't want to get a license from Walton Hills, they could go up to the turn and turn around and go back, and, you know. So, then the other thing is their maintenance building is in Walton Hills. And again, that's payroll tax. So, there are just a few things that, you know, for consideration, things to look into.
Well, that's important. We'll look into it.
It's a lot of money. They transpond millions of dollars every night from that racetrack, and Walton Hills receives nothing. When they race live racing, they send their signal out all over the United States. It goes to, I think, Australia.
Yeah.
New Zealand, and so they're making money, and again, Walton Hills receives nothing.
Well, we'd like to receive something title to it.
I would think something.
So we certainly.
I mean,
that's what our whole discussion's about.
If you can buy a racetrack for $1.3 billion, they probably drop $200 million on the ground and don't even think about it, where I think we could use a little bit of that.
Well, let's see what we'll look into.
Like, bring that up.
We'll look into it and go from there, Fred.
Okay.
And then if you guys have any questions, well, I'm glad you reached out to Katie. That's a good
well,
thing.
Well, she
you guys,
seems to be the one to
she is.
Look into all that. So
She's the bean counter. And if you follow the money, we all know that's the person that knows the finances, knows everything that's going on, believe it or not. And that's just how you follow the money and you'll find out what's going on.
So, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Nielsen brings up a good point with that, the transmitting of the races and that. I know we get a fee from cable companies, right? Don't we?
We do get a cable franchise fee.
Cable franchise fee, and we used to get a fee. I know it was our tower, and they were before we sold it, and we would get a fee from that.
No longer.
No longer, because we sold the tower. But I'm just thinking, dovetailing off Fred's idea with the cable, with the franchise fee, if there's something, I don't know if FCC rules would allow us to do that or anything like that, I don't know. But it's definitely something to look into.
Well, we also get a disbursement from the Horsemen's Association, which Fred is very well versed and brought up that, you know, we haven't renegotiated or talked with them about renegotiating that contract in many years, if that's something we're able to. Fred has a lot of knowledge about that.
That contract probably, when I was in on the contract talks, that's 30, 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it benefited the Horsemen, and it benefited Walton Hills. So we didn't have to send out tax forms to each person and then have people from out of state come back and say, you know, I live out of state and I'd like to, you know, and write checks back, and it could have been, you know, it would have cost us more than what it was worth. So what we did, we settled on a flat rate. But since then, the purses have gone up, and because of the casino, they raced for almost four and five times the money. Mm-hmm. And we haven't renegotiated that. I think we get $30,000.
Roughly.
And I don't see why we shouldn't be getting more.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll use our resources. Besides Katie, as a lot of you know, if maybe not, you did your taxes, you probably dealt with Vic Nagallo, but when Vic retired, we have Angela Ravee, who was being trained. She hasn't, and she's very well qualified, so we definitely want to keep her here on staff, but the plan was for her to go into Vic's position. And we still plan it. That's something we need to talk about. But she certainly is a wealth of knowledge we have here, too, that Katie can work with and draw from. It's just not Katie by herself. And Angela has a wealth of knowledge and has been in finance her whole life and has served in other communities, too, mm-hmm. Correct?
Yep.
Well, we'll go from there on that. Any other council comments? We already have we've already had a motion for the number six, and we can start with that if everybody's good. I'm just gonna go ahead. Well, Lori, do you wanna open up with it or you wanna?
You can go ahead.
Okay. A week ago, actually it was last Monday, the 24th, we had a meeting with the OWL, myself, Gloria. Gloria is the information chair, along with members of the OWL. Councilman Jennifer Allen was there in both capacities, as a council person and as a member of the OWL committee. And we met, I think we talked for what, almost a couple hours? And just kind of shared, talking about the OWL and the Journal and different things, and I'll kind of give you my opinion too, but we said we need to take it to council. and have pretty much the same discussion we had there. We had a very good discussion and said, why not bring it, you know, bring it to this body and see what we can come up with. Just for myself, the talk was maybe giving some things to the Owl to print that we print in a journal. Okay, I even threw out maybe going from the journal monthly to quarterly. That was just things we threw out there. I don't know if I quite feel that way yet, but we might go to that. But we definitely had some good discussion that there's things that we can put in the out, probably more than they think after us talking about it, quite a few pages, or just open up and talking, that they both can coexist. And coexist in a good way where we both help each other, whether it's distributing the information that has come out, more information. I know me and Ray have talked about this. I know how he feels about the journal. And the value they have and how they kind of serve the community differently. One is put out by the village and one is put out by the OWL staff, a group of volunteers, which I think all of us feel we'd hate to see that go away because we didn't work together. So our whole meeting was just about, it was a very good open discussion about kind of helping each other, but at the same time keeping our finances good. So, and it doesn't mean whatever we come out today or whatever we decide can't change in a week or two or a month or another issue where we say, hey, it's not working or whatever. So it's just kind of a start of, I think, working together. I think we had a good meeting and we wanted to bring it to council and the residents and see how everybody feels and work together on this. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gloria.
I had a few questions for Katie. What is the cost of the journal after the advertising? What is
it cost? Roughly between $600 and $800 a month, depending on what the advertising costs for that month are.
Okay, and how much is postage?
It's about almost $200 of the cost.
Okay. So it's anywhere from $800 to $1,000.
Not including postage, sure.
Right, okay. Okay, I have them both here, the journal and the OWL. And the journal has 12 pages. On the 12 pages, 9.5 of the pages in here are Walton Hills information pertaining to Walton Hills. And there's 2.5 pages which are advertising. The OWL has 28 pages. 9.5 are Walton Hills information. And 14.25 are other communities or advertising. The journal is only official government information only pertaining to the village of Walton Hills. The OWL is a social type of a periodical. And that has potpourri, bereavement, grammar, shelter for pets, for sale items, and news bites. I think the journal has a more professional look to it. I believe the OWL said they could put that type on the front page, just the one page. But as you look through the journal, you're going to see a colored information on throughout the journal. This is the OWL, which is black and white. I believe they both can coexist. I just don't think they can commingle. I think the journal should be just published from the village itself with the information that goes on in our village, and the OWL can print the social part, the potpourri, the bereavement, and whatever else goes on in the village. I believe they can coexist, but I don't think they should be commingled. One is official and one is more or less a social. There were some things that were written on a sheet of paper that said that they could easily put in the owl. Building and zoning would be a quarter page. The police department, recreation news, health article by Kathleen Kapusta, street report a half a page, and council information page. Something was mentioned about putting the police blotter in to print that. I don't think we should do that. We have a 28% senior population, and I don't think they need to hear about burglaries and things going on in their community. I think it upsets them. I think the way it's written now by our police department, it gives us tips on how we can stay safe. And I think that's what should be in there, not a blotter. If you read the neighborhood news, that's all it is, police blotter, what's going on in Garfield Heights and Maple Heights, things like that. I would like to see our clubs, the women's club and the 50 plus club and the other clubs in our journal. That is Walton Hills business, and I think it should stay in our journal. If we wanted to look it up, it's all right here. Sometimes there's conflicting on this with the calendars, the times and things that things start. So that's what my opinion on it. They can coexist but not be commingled. And I think they're both excellent publications. Years ago, I've been here 46 years, I think, 48. My children were small, and everything, you would see everything in there about what was going on in the schools, the baseball, who got married. You could follow that child through school, through graduating to college, to getting married, through the owl, with different things that went on, you know, was published in that. So it was a real hometown type of thing, and I think that's good to know when someone passes away in the village here. We're a small village. I think we should be able to know that. I think that's good information, but I think that should be in here. This is for goes to the businesses, and I think that it has to be official, and I think it looks official. It looks very nice. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Anybody else want to?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
The owl approached the village to try to get back to where we were in the past. The owl had always traditionally included all of the village information. There was no other publication. Mm-hmm. The past mayor in Yelsky had started a quarterly newsletter, but the owl still had all of the council. In fact, they had pages of council meeting minutes that were listed in there along with all the other village information. And it was obviously done at a much more discounted rate than what the journal is costing us right now. The suggestion that the owl had of, that was going through the past three journals, that there was approximately a quarter page worth of building information. Ms. Kathleen Kapusta's articles seem very informative. The recreation department would be probably a page, even two pages. Something from the police department, which the OWL staff had said they've had many people, and we have, ask us how come there's no police blotter, so we know what's going on. There's residents that have contacted me asking me that about the OWL, especially up on Ryan and Seeley, because they specifically get the neighborhood news, so they know what's going on right next to them with the police blotters there. With all that being said, if the village decided to put six pages of actual information and not just, and the pictures are very nice, but this is a duplication of efforts that's being done for the residents by the OWL staff, which is an all-volunteer organization, completely at no cost whatsoever to the village. There's no employees that need to be handling this. I'm sorry, I think Katie's got enough on her plate than to be worrying about putting out a journal every month too. I know that can be time consuming, and graphics, trying to fit things in and making sure that you've got the thank you to Carol James and just a nice picture of fall is in the air. I mean, this publication is currently costing us anywhere from $7,200 plus an extra $200 for mailing, $800 a month to $1,000 a month. And that's what we're paying out. So we're paying out up to $12,000 a year for this. Without the duplication of efforts, you could put in all the pertinent information monthly with the OWL at a cost, 6 pages, you get 1 page free, they're giving you guys a deal, just like they do with the organizations. $45 a page would be $225 a month or $2,700 versus almost $12,000 a year for it. I thought your suggestion of having something quarterly was very good. That's what we used to have. I am disappointed with the journal, and Katie, this is not about you, but that we still don't have, I mean, it still says in the newest one, Resolution 2018-23, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates and determined by the budget, declaring an emergency. It's still not giving the teeth to, I think, a more informative council page that maybe, if Katie would be willing to write that, explaining the legislation a little more detail, that would be 1 page every month. That would be showing a lot more transparency, and that's what people want. They want to see what the stuff is that's going on, not just the resolution numbers. I've been hearing that up here all year long.
But, okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, as I said, there is no cost, there is no village time lost in preparing any of this content. And if our police chief is doing something and Kathleen Capusta is still doing something, this could all be done through the OWL as it used to be in the past and always has been. I know we had a discussion about liking the shiny pictures and color pictures and things like that, and the OWL offered that with that possibility of the OWL getting the village information, we could do a cover, which would actually be all 4 pages. Because any publication is done in a 4-page increment. You guys are bound by a minimum 4-page increments, which is why Katie has to come up with pictures and additional things in there to fill empty spaces. Because if you come up with 7 pages, you got to make up an eighth page. Mm-hmm. If you come up with 6 pages, you got to make up 2 more pages. With the OWL, you don't have that at all. Not bound to any type of specific increments of pages or anything else like that. The OWL also offered to deliver any potential material that the village would want in the future, like hopefully new phone books. We haven't had them since 11 or 14, so we're hoping at some point, you know, we could put out a new phone book and the OWL would be willing to deliver that also. We also offer electronic distribution, which we could do to the businesses. I'm not sure what pertinent information in the journal goes to the businesses. I mean, the businesses aren't really concerned with our trip to Presque Isle Down or yoga for the mind, body, and spirit. So to me, that's a huge additional mailing cost, you know, just going to the businesses. If the village would like that, I'm sure that the OWL would be willing to discuss, and electronic delivery to them would be of no cost to us whatsoever. We just don't think that there needs to be a duplication of efforts. Y'all's always have the calendar.
Right. I agree with the, but I, to me, this is my opinion, and I want to counsel to chime in because it's, you know, it's our decision together. As I expressed before, I think the same way, and I feel the same way about the OWL. I've never changed my thing from the OWL when there was things. I think it's important to have the OWL. I think the OWL is something communities don't have. They don't have a group of volunteers that puts something together. We all know the value of it. But I also know that when this started and evolved, it came because people wanted something from the village too. My thing, and I thought we got out of the meeting, but that's okay. It's all here. Is to work with both of them and put out both, okay, and work together, okay. I have had residents who do like that there is a village, you know, a village newsletter, okay, and then there's also the OWL. A lot of people value both of them equally, and I feel that same way. I just know I feel that same way. Katie made a good point in our meeting when she talked, she said, and this isn't the owl, because the owl kind of fits in there too, that this is kind of the face of the village, okay, in a sense, and so is the owl. But if the owl, if the village puts something out, it does have to, it should look like this. There's just no reason. The owl kind of gives you that nostalgia, and it gives you that important part, that hometown feeling, which I think that's why even people tell me, and it goes both ways, so I'm not saying it because I've heard it from, well, I just look at the owl. I don't look at your journal. And I've heard people, I don't look at the owl, I just look at the journal. Then you have some people, well, I grab whichever one's closer, and I like that, you know, and we were even talking about it, that some of the things duplicating ain't so bad. Because people grab one or the other, like the calendars. I think duplicating a calendar, you can't go wrong. Because you grab an owl, you grab the journal, you got it there. You hang one up here, you hang one up there. I think they both have their place. Can we put more stuff in here to get more things out? Oh, definitely. Just like I think we were talking, Katie, before the meeting here, I asked her about the minutes because people have said they'd like to see, just like before, the written part of the minutes. I know we talked about that in our meeting, too. They don't want to go to the computer, and not everybody's computer literate, okay? We know we have a large senior population, but I hate even to say that because most seniors are more computer literate than myself or even people in my age bracket. You know, it's my mother-in-law does everything on the computer at 89. But a lot of people want that written thing. So I said to Katie, you know, maybe that's something, I know it's a little harder for her to get done, but even if they're a month behind, like they used to be, that's okay, because you still get that. So to me, I this is just where I'm at. I think it's important. But the point I want to make is it's not about getting rid of one of them. Why not try, you know, even just a start to move in a direction where we're helping each other, and then we might end up saying, hey, let's go quarterly, or we might say, no, or we just, but to keep them both and help each other and come, it could be a work in progress. It's not something that needs to be decided right now. I mean, we can decide on getting some things in there and stuff, but.
Mr. Mayor,
we'll get to you later.
I agree. I think it's a work in progress. I think we have to help each other. And I don't have a problem with having a police blotter. I actually think we should know what's going on here, no matter how old you are, because you need to be aware. Besides, the tips are always good. But and if we, you know, you keep the journal going, and you said the owl was social, I don't think the Women's Club or anything else should be in the journal then. I think that belongs in the owl. And as the mayor said, I think we're going to learn to work with each other for a while till we figure out where everybody's got at a good place. And I don't know. I think we're just working towards something in the future. But to make a decision today, I couldn't make a decision because I don't want to get rid of either one of them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mr. Mayor.
I just want to make a point that the owl's solvency is not dependent upon the village.
Right.
So the owl's not going anywhere.
No.
Good. We don't want it to go away. Yeah. And
we're not, look, just so you know, it's going to help, the owl is helping the village as much, the journal, we want to have, we're all here together. I mean, I didn't mean it, you know, taking some of the stuff out and put it in the owl helps the village get the information out.
Gets the information.
You know, it's what we're trying to get away from is them competing against each other. And that is what our whole conversation was about last Monday. Just what you're saying, get away from and sharing the information. Get out as much information to the residents. Okay? Some of the stuff might be duplicated, though. I know the Women's Club put some stuff in our journal, like the pancake breakfast they had in the owl. Just, I think, for that reason, that some people read this, some people read that, or they read both, or sometimes you see it twice instead of once, it gets in your head. You know, that day you looked at the owl, maybe you weren't thinking about what you're doing next Sunday, but the day you're looking in the journal or vice versa, it hits you. You know, It's like they say, you know, more advertising, the more that name is exposed, the better it is. There's just no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's...
Well, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I also think, how do I say this properly? I think in the past, it was more of a division, having the two, there was a competition going on, and I don't think that's the case anymore. And I think we're just presenting the facts in the journal a little bit more objectively. But I think it's just a work in progress right now, how it's all going to play out and what we all want to do. And as long as the villagers, the residents get the information.
And Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm fine with having, you know, I see what Gloria is saying, and
right.
I see what Mary's saying and Jennifer. There is, the mayor's right. I think the journal, it, you know, my opinion, maybe have the journal be all the official business, non-biased, non-political, non-official, and then as Gloria said, the non-official stuff, and I don't mind putting, you know, starting off putting the minutes in mm-hmm. the owl. People like reading the minutes, you know, and things like that, and that's a venue. They don't have to go to the computer to get them. You know, our ads for the, you know, rec stuff, you know, that's non-official stuff. I don't have any problem. And Mary's absolutely right. There was in years past a division between the past administrations and the OWL for whatever reason, and that's it's done and over with, and I'm glad that's done and over with. I remember, now at one point a few years ago, and I believe Jennifer was involved in the emails that I had offered to write for the OWL. I said I will be as unbiased as I possibly can. You have free rein for editorial. Use it. Don't use it. I don't care. I'll put something mm-hmm. together. And for whatever reason, they said no, and that's fine, you know. But I think we're past that, and I think this is a morphing situation. Whatever our journal ends up looking like, if it ends up being a quarterly trifold thing, you know, that's okay. This is what happened this past quarter. And the resolutions and ordinances that were passed, and I fully agree that the ordinances and resolutions should be explained. This is what it means. I don't think Katie should do that at all. She's just got too much on her plate to be doing all this stuff. The information committee can do it. I'll volunteer to do it. I don't care, but I think that that needs to be done in future issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's a morphing thing, and whatever each turns out to be. But I think Don's right in that the official stuff, people have kind of gotten used to that form. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I have heard people too say, well, if I see it from the village, I know it's true. You know, something to that effect, or I know it actually happened, or whatever. Maybe I know it's not true. Maybe that's a long shot. But
I think that kind of goes back to the division
yeah.
that you talked about in the past.
But, or I should say, I know it's official. It came
yeah.
that information
truth
came
has
the,
nothing to do
yeah
with
it. It came from the village. So this came from the village. Not that. You know, when I first moved here and first got on council, it was just the aisle, like you said, and that's all that residents had to go by. And now we have these two things, and I think they, like Don said, I think they both can coexist and, you know, keep our official stuff in there. And maybe someday we'll shred, you know, just shed it. I don't know. But I think it's a good conversation to have, and I think adding more information like the minutes and things like that, our social stuff in that aisle is an important thing. I think we can do that, cut our expenses, and help out the aisle.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but Katie has taken over handling the journal.
Yeah.
So that's something else that's been placed on her plate now, too, you know, which is, you know, when we found that out, it was like, how much more are we getting?
Katie pulls four shifts a day here.
I know.
But I want you to understand.
And she emails her immediately, even if it's midnight.
Right. But that's something, you know, there's been some transition here and stuff.
Yeah.
Things we're working on it.
Yes.
And talking through and stuff. You know, we understand that because it's this way now doesn't mean it's going to remain that way, too.
Right.
Just so you know, I mean, those are, you know, we're in a transition, and there's some reasons why that has changed a little bit.
Well, I think also, and I don't want to step out of line without consulting with the board, but if eventually the journal went to a quarterly kind of newsletter, I would believe that the OWL would be willing to include that with the OWL for delivery. Again, I don't know. I mean, if each of you take a look at the journal, take a hard look at it, you know, the amount of info that's actually in there compared to things that are duplicated, like the table of contents on front. And I know it's a difficult thing to do because you have to fill four-page increments, you know, so you have to add things to that. But again, we could offer electronic delivery to the businesses. I don't know how necessary it is for the businesses to be receiving our journal, what information is in there for them. You know, I mean, that's even a way to look at cutting back costs for our mailings.
Right.
Well, we have had businesses in the past come here and say, we don't get any information from the village. So that's why we started sending stuff to them, you know. So there are businesses that do. Now, whether they're interested in our yoga remains to be seen, obviously. And that's why I said we can put the social aspect of everything in the OWL and see how it goes. I don't know. It's perfectly fine by me.
I had a staff meeting yesterday, and we presented it to them, to the department heads, that, you know, we're going to have this meeting, and we had the meeting last Monday, you know, what you think about it. And, you know, they all, oh, yeah, there's a lot of things we can, like Carol showed me the Halloween trick-or-treat. She said, I would love to put that in the aisle, different things. I did, Gloria, did you get, I think, Stan, did he give you this? Okay. I just got this today. Stan, I mentioned the police blotter to him in the staff meeting yesterday, and he says, well, Don, I do that. I used to do that all the time, and he gave us this. This is actually last month's. He gave us that. So he has no problem with that, doing the police blotter if we didn't want to put that in. So, you know, I've been talking to the staff and getting their ideas too and stuff. So there is, and I'm not, and I understand your concern. But those are the things we can try. And if we get feedback from the residents, it's exactly what we're talking about. If they don't like it, then we can always switch it. So it'd be nice tonight if we did come up with something, at least maybe for the next issue, you know, maybe put some of the things in there, whether, you know, we talk about the minutes, adding some things, or talk about the police blotter if you're for it or against it. And then we can also talk about it Tuesdays. I can put it on the agenda for next Tuesday, too. There's not a problem with that if people want to think about it. Hold on, Karen. Does any council have anything, or do you want me to go to the residents? I mean, we can still go back and forth.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm all for putting the police blotter, and you just said it and went out of my mind. In the minutes, yeah, in the OWL.
We'll take a look at it. We can make some copies, and we can take a look at it. And you know, what's your deadline for November?
Our deadline would be the 15th. But we do have a little bit of playroom there for Katie if we have a heads up as to how many pages. If Katie needed 5 pages, that's all she would need to tell me. And, you know, by the 15th, we could give her a few days beyond that, because those pages would be earmarked specifically. I don't think this is a proof copy that I have.
No. We were waiting on a page from Citizens League, so
this was our proof copy, because Citizens League was trying to put together the meeting, you know, with council and stuff, and get that all squared away. So before it went to final print, this is how we held the page for it.
Well, why don't we? You can put it on the next week's agenda. We can think about it. Gives us some time. We can have questions from the audience right now and from the residents, and go from there. I know Lee and Karen, you both, Lee, you were raising your hand earlier. Karen, you want, come on up, Lee. So we got it on tape. Karen too. So
you'll hear me.
No. What's good for one is good for everybody.
Yeah, the deals are too high. Why aren't we asking residents? I mean, there's a lot of conversation here, and we just had a conversation around communicating more with the residents. Why don't we put a survey out in the OWL, put a survey out in the journal, and just ask the question. And here's the other point I'd like to make. $12,000 a year, approximately. What else could we do with $12,000 a year? As business people, what else can you do with $12,000?
Well, we could do it, you know.
I need to answer that question.
Okay.
I want to answer a rhetorical question.
No, I understand that, but it's also a very easy question to answer.
I would like to see the residents say what they want in terms of their moves. If we look at the Plain Dealer, for example, the Plain Dealer's shrinking because the residents of the community are saying, here's what we want and don't want, and then use it. I think we ought to ask the same questions. And the OWL can put a survey in, the journal can put a survey in, and let us respond. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Do I have to say
hello? Yeah, of course you do.
We don't know you.
Karen Remy, 17595 Alexander Road. And I think Ms. Nielsen started my conversation. I thought the whole point was saving money. And when Jennifer came out with the figures, roughly $12,000, I think that should end your conversation right there. Secondly, are we still paying the Liberty News $500 a month?
No.
We haven't put anything in there. And we won't, unless this council wants to put something in there, but I have no intention as a mayor of putting anything in there right now.
No, the articles that were put in are free. It's free to put in an article, which the former mayor and Ms. Terlowski decided to do on their own. The money we were spending on the Liberty News was for an advertisement, but we pulled that advertisement over a year ago, so we're not giving any money to the Liberty News.
Okay, and Gloria, you're just writing your articles, we're not paying to put your articles in?
No, doesn't cost a dime.
Okay, all right. But we were paying $500.
$400.
That was for
an advertisement.
Advertising.
I see. Okay. Did we pull in business? Anybody know? Did people move here because of that? Or is there any records of anybody knowing if that's...
We stopped it over a year ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I'm still concerned about, I'd like to see the merge. Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yvonne Berzik, I live at 14036 Swan Lake Boulevard in North Royalton. I'm the assistant editor for the OWL, and I put together some of the content, and we put it all together once a month. And first I wanted to say thank you all for meeting with us. It was a worthwhile experience, and I'm glad you took the time to have this conversation, because as in time past, the relationship now within the village, between the villagers and the village and the owl is a much different relationship than it has been in the past. And we're moving that forward in however form that might take, whether it's recreation news or water or whatever you see fit to put minutes in, et cetera. I wanted to note that I want to thank, on record, all the volunteers of the owl. Only very few of them are here. But I wanted them to know that all the work that they put into this publication every month is appreciated. Maybe not by everybody, maybe not all the time, but in one time or other, I believe everyone benefits from seeing this publication the same way they can benefit from seeing information in the journal. I enjoy doing this. It helps me feel connected to this community. I spend a lot of time here, and I get to know the people that I work with and I interact with, and it's worthwhile for me from that point of view. I think the owl is both social and informational, and the journal is official and informational, and they can't coexist. It's just going to be a matter of what you decide as a body to include, because we're both trying to benefit the same group of people. We do it differently. The owl, you know, more or less looks like this. Maybe the color of the page will, of the cover will change from month to month. But it's hard to confuse getting this on your mailbox or in your paper chute with a, and I don't mean to denigrate it, but another glossy magazine type thing that comes in your mail, that if you're quickly sorting through your mail, you know, the bills go in one pile and everything else goes in another pile, and you know where that other pile ends up. So I think the owl and the journal can coexist in some form, and I look forward to seeing what that starts out as and what it develops into, because I think it, there's a good fit and a good overlap where we could benefit one another. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other? You do have to say your name, Marianne.
My name's that. Marianne Sperant, 7500 Linda Lane. This is really a good thing to hear all this discussion after such division over time. It is healing. I was glad to hear that. And the idea of the police blotter is something that interests quite a few of the residents. And the Liberty News, and not Liberty News, neighborhood news that you mentioned, sometimes it's a little too graphic. You're afraid to go to Mark's, you know. But if it can be done in a more toned down, I appreciate that. But I think people want to know what's going on. We really feel isolated because we don't know what's going on because we don't have a paper. In fact, I contacted the neighborhood news on several occasions and asked if they could come into the village. I contacted the Gazette before the big turmoil and everything, just so that we would get to know a little more, because I did not feel transparency was the rule of the day. And all they have to say is, fine, you want to be the reporter. They don't have reporters to help us. And so that kind of was out. But what you're working on now, it's really very refreshing and gratifying to know that we are moving forward, because the world is a very difficult place, more so every day, looking at the news. I like the idea of the police blotter and the minutes and whatever more you can put in there. I was at a business today in Walton Hills that I deliver the owl to. I try to pick up, because they never get the owl, but they do get the journal. And maybe some of the businesses, they don't have many employees that live in the village, they like to see the journal because it is official. But maybe just with the official news tailored down, they really don't need to know the tips, crime tips for homes. And maybe it would help them and their own residents. But if the journal could be like quarterly and stick to the more official publication aspects, and the owl to include more of the things that used to, I think would be good. But I want to thank you all for being to reflecting so much on this. It's going to be a good thing, and we're beginning to feel hopeful just in this small community. I think maybe we can keep our paradise. Okay, thank you.
I remember, Mr. Mayor, I remember years ago when we had that newspaper. What was the name of it? Was it
we had the Bedford Times Register.
Yeah, the Bedford Times.
And we had the Sun News, too.
Yeah, I remember.
We had two of them.
I remember talking to you and Denny at times, and we would read that, and sometimes you'd say, were they at the same meeting I was at? Because I remember that. It's like, so you got to kind of... be careful what you ask for, because
Tim Trogland.
Yeah, I remember, and I liked Tim, but it was like I don't remember. Remember that? It's like I don't remember that happening, or you know, I don't remember that being said like that or whatever. So I think, you know, I'm almost, I don't want to say glad there isn't a but it, you know, we want to get factual information out, not political rhetoric and all that stuff. We want to get factual information out, what if it's in the OWL or if it's in the Journal, whatever. We want to give people the facts of what's going on, why we chose to do something. You know, and that's what we want to do.
Go ahead, Josephine.
Josephine Wardle, 17850. In the Journal, now, do we charge the organizations for putting in the Women's Club scholarship fundraiser and the pancake breakfast?
I did not charge them.
Pardon?
I did not charge them.
You did not charge them?
No.
Well, one of my main concerns is the fact that since we are financially a little bit strapped, and I know Denny Lindbergh doesn't like to hear that, but we have to consider saving every dollar we can. And it sounds to me, even though I have more heart of hearing, that we're spending almost $10,000 out of our pocket on the OWL.
On the Journal, I'm sorry.
When you look at it, after you're done reading both of these, where do they go? Hopefully recycle. So really, what difference does it make if it's nice and shiny or if it isn't shiny? We could incorporate what information was in this into the OWL, have your own separate section. You could even say, you know, this is the Walton Hills Journal, published by the OWL. And this way, consequently, save the money that we are spending. Because my big concern is, if we don't start saving pennies here and there, and don't bank on Ford Motor Company, it's going to be a big boom within the next 5 years. And I think it's important to look into every area. I know that's going to be in the budget, into every area where we can start saving money. And if we can incorporate this professionally, maybe make a little changes, we would save ourselves money. We would have one piece of paper, one journal for all or whatever for the people to read instead of having two. And all the information will be condensed. And that's just my feeling, because my big concern is the unity, uniting the village, and saving money. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I'd just like to thank the volunteers that for the OWL also. That's
Mayor. If I may, I would support combining the two publications is what I would support. I'll actually support that. So as a council member, so that's my 2 cents.
Mike. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Michael Rico at 7071 Chamber Drive. If you combine it, don't you pay? Let me ask you, Jennifer, just to you. We have to pay per page for the printer, so many pages?
The cost of our OWL is dependent upon
number of pages
each issue. So our cost is approximately $45 per page. So we would be charging the village, just like the organizations, our cost. We're not making...
Get advertisement in the journal. Just switch it to the owl. Make more money from advertising.
That would be up to the people that are advertising with the journal.
That is something we talked about in the meeting, because we do have two very large corporations that advertise, being the Hard Rock and UH, that I'm sure want a color, nice advertisement. We're getting quite a bit of money in advertising from them. So that was something that we talked about and something that could be considered if we were to do quarterly or any other
information. Do you advertise in color now, just black and white?
We just have the black and white right now, but we did talk about if those larger advertisers had the possibility of wanting to advertise with the owl. The owl could discuss taking that four-page outer, the front page, back page, and then the inside cover and back inside the cover, and that we would have the possibility of making that a color exterior just on those two pages. We wouldn't do the whole thing at this point in full color just because of costs. We do go with a printer that is a resident of the village. It's the same printer we've been using. But we were looking at and talking about the possibility of taking these two pages so that those advertisers, if they wanted to continue with the owl, would be able to with their color format.
And that whole folio could be color, four pages of color.
Right. Yeah, it would be all four pages.
Well, we can put it on the next agenda, but I'm going to give kind of my... opinion. You guys can give your opinion if you want. I am not in favor of combining them totally. I think it's very important that the village has its own newsletter. I just feel that's we'd probably be one of the few communities, whether small or large, that doesn't have one, if not the only one. I did some research on that, and they all have it. So I feel that's important. I definitely feel they can coexist and we can work together, and there's no doubt about it. I know I mentioned quarterly. I would think if council decided to do that, it would be fine. I think we should stick with the monthly, see how it goes from there. I know you mentioned the money, okay? But most of this meeting, what I heard was not enough communication. Don't know what's happening. Well,
can't do it for free.
Can't do both. I mean, you kind of... You know, it's there's a two-way thing there. But I think we can also save, too. You know, so I guess what I'm saying, I think we should approach it. Don't all of a sudden get rid of one or get rid of the other and then start over. Let's approach it slow and see how it goes. Maybe do those surveys, okay? Get some feedback, okay? That is what we need to do. For some reason, we always have this tendency to go one way or the other. And then, once you lose it, we all know, and that would be my worry, no different with the owl of the journal, if you lost that owl, to get it back probably never would happen. The formulate, volunteers like that, there's just no doubt about it. Those kind of things, you see that happen. So that's... Same thing with the journal. We let that go, and to start it up again would be very hard. I think we're at the point where we should try to work it together, look at the finances, of course, and see where it's at. That's just where I'm at. So let's put it out. I'll give you this, what Stan gave me. You can look at the police blotter, see how you feel about that. Look at some of the other things. Talk to people, see where it's at. Lee, you mentioned, and everybody always says, oh, you got a small group here. Chuck, you've said it how many times? Well, why didn't everybody know? You know, just things. So I guess it's important where also we make that decision based on all of us here. We're kind of just going against what we all just talked about for the last 2 hours. Yeah, you can come up.
And Mayor, just making an observation, the last couple months this room is full. Come spring, there's going to be four people here.
And
you know the other three that are going to be here. That's just the way it, you know. So please stay informed. It's up to you guys, too.
Are you going to change your policies? Because I approached you when Mr. Hurst was on vacation one time at a meeting, and I asked, I says, well, can anybody put in articles that disagree with Mr. Hurst? And you said,
you never asked me that, Chuck.
It's
I don't remember.
You were sitting right there.
I don't remember. That's like when you asked me today about anything. No, because I can tell you, look you in the eyes, you didn't say that to me, because guess what? You know what kind of policies we have on the journal? None. When I know about policies, I know the policy. Okay, my big complaint is we don't have a lot of policies and procedures. So to tell you that we have a policy on the journal when I know there isn't one, why would I tell you that?
Well,
so don't twist it, because I'm going to come straight at you. I never told you there was no policy, because there is no policy, so I wouldn't tell you there was one.
Anything that disagreed
with there you go.
Old regime,
no.
You couldn't get a thing printed. And it's just like censorship. Nothing but the facts. And now Mrs. Pulaski here says, well, we don't want people to learn about what's going on in the police blotter.
That's not what
she didn't say.
She said there were seniors and it might bother them. What you did, you took a situation and just twisted it. And that's not fair. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you straight out. And you can tell me whatever you want straight out, too. As long as it's the truth. And I'm good with that.
Well, that's what happened.
Okay. Anybody else have anything before council? How about council members?
No.
Because we're going to move on to the fun stuff.
Okay.
Let's the budget. Well, Mary?
Okay. Well,
you're chairman of the finance committee.
I am the chairman of the finance committee, so where
thank
am I
you,
to
everybody.
Begin with this?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I can see the bottom
thank
line. I was going to turn it over to Katie.
Yes.
The bottom line looks better than anticipated. So,
yeah. Yes.
But I'm going to let you. Pardon me. Oh, I know. But my name's on it, so that's why. But I was going to let Katie begin because she puts it together and go through it for us.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to try to keep everything as brief as possible. We'll get more in depth in November, so this is a real cursory review.
Right.
The first report you have in front of you is our report through October. I ran it purposely.
It's through October?
Through October 2nd. Sorry, it's through today. We closed on the house on Friday.
So it's through October 2nd.
Yes. So we closed on Friday on the home. We received the check yesterday, so I wanted to reflect that in the report since it was pretty significant. So you'll see right now our cash balance is $1,342,000, which I'm very, very happy to see. The number is slowly growing on a month-to-month basis. Because of the influx we've had, we're currently $413,000 surplus through October 2nd. So, of course, there are variables for the rest of the year, but barring any major emergencies, I think that we will have a successful year. It's been a very difficult year. All of our departments were forced to work with extremely bare bones budgets, and I give them all a ton of credit for doing so and making do with the resources we have. So that is that report. If you don't mind passing this down, this is the 2019 budget, and we can just very briefly go through it. There are some variables which we still don't know, the largest one being what our health insurance will be for next year. I'm still waiting to hear back on what type of bids come in for us. So anywhere where there's a number filled in, it's kind of the same as we had spent for this year, but that will change likely in a higher amount based on my experience. So. We're pretty close to the same. I've actually decreased our income tax collections for next year based on what we know with some of the businesses. It does look higher because I've moved some JED. The auditors had requested that we do not show it as a transfer in, which is how I had been doing it. So that was showing in 1,931.
Mm-hmm.
So now that number is incorporated in the income tax withholding, which is 2.7. So I backed out 200,000 in our overall collections, which does not include the JED, just to be safe. The number for in 1,190 other local taxes, this is reflecting the portion for our 3 mil increase. I have in there 580,000. I believe the number is going to be higher since our valuations have increased pretty substantially. I'm just waiting for the county to give me confirmation on that number. Also to note, 1,390 special assessments. We had budgeted for all four quarters of collection for rubbish this year. Unfortunately, we were not able to get the first quarter. The number 162,960, all of those assessments have been passed on to the county, so we will be receiving those with our distributions for property tax. Everything else here remains relatively the same. The charge we receive for dispatch goes up by 2%. Now, if you go down to 1,000...
Did you include that, Katie, in that 185?
Yes, that's a 2%.
Okay.
1,619,0017. This is solely our traffic camera income. It was a line that was created this year when we started with the cameras. I'm budgeting 240. I do think that we will surpass that. We're currently at 170. Actually, we got another distribution. We're at 190,000 in collections as of today for the camera. Yes.
Is that our total collections?
Yes.
So that's what the village is actually
receiving? We have actually received, yes.
Thank you.
And then on the second page, there, you know, everything else is pretty basic with our cable franchise fees, any miscellaneous contributions we receive. And then you'll see there's not that $400,000 transfer in, which I had said before. I've moved it into a different location per the auditor's request.
Where was that other place you...
It's now in income tax withholding, 1,130,0131.
It's like the third one down.
Yeah, the third, the 2.7 million.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. SCMR, this is pretty much the same. I will say that the transfer that they have to receive from the general fund is $20,000 more than this year. I did give that department a little bit more room in their budget in this version, just so you could see what that would look like. And then we can always make cuts as we go. State highway, those are the same revenues. I've gone to the next page. I did include, these are just things I'm including of note that are outside of the normal. In capital, I do have $200,000 as a sale of fixed asset, which can be removed. That is if the transaction goes through for the service garage next year at some point, and that is a low number for that. And our JED is about the same. So those are revenues. Expenditures.
Katie?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Back under special bond retirement fund.
Yes.
On our current one, we're showing an 18 actual of zero, and the budget was 1.6 million. Where did that get moved to?
Well, this is, so in the bond retirement fund, so this is when we roll our notes over. So this is on the revenue side. So we see them funds coming back in, and then we'll see them also on the expenditure side going back out when we reissue our debt.
Okay.
So this is, our plan was to pay down $70,000 when I rolled the note over this fall. I just did $50,000 for to pay down for next year, but that can be amended right up until we pass the issuance.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we go to expenditures. The only, I did not include pay increases for any departments except for police because per their FOP contract, they do receive a 1.5% increase on their salaries for 2019. So that is reflected here. I don't believe they've requested any extra staff at this time. And they've been very successful with their 12-hour shifts, by the way. I know there was some question about that. Their overtime is down substantially, and I've gotten a lot of really good feedback from the officers themselves. Dispatch, all of those are the same. But just keep in mind when we get to the medical portion that number is going to change hopefully before next month. I should know what that'll be. I did not make any major changes to the budget for the police department. They've been operating very well, actually, with the budget they had for this year. On the second page of expenditures, you will see that the fire contract will increase by 2% or up to 5%. It's been pretty standard at 2%. The CPI has not been higher than 2% for many years, so that is likely the increase we will see. Okay, of note in recreation, I did put $20,000 back into their budget for Community Day for everyone's consideration. And no changes in the building department, no changes in engineering, no changes to utilities.
What about the trips? It's
$30,000? No, that is probably on a wrong
line. I was
line.
Like, where are they going? I want to go.
I might have an extra zero in there. Let me make sure what I meant to do.
And we're going
to
go line item by line.
No. I know.
It out, so
I kind of
feel.
It just popped
we're
going to
do our usual November line item by line
yes,
item.
Yes.
I don't want to do that tonight. I just saw that. And I thought, they're going somewhere nice.
We're doing some great trips next year.
That's all.
Look out.
Nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. I just.
No major changes to utilities, service department. The mayor, of course, the salary has been adjusted. I did leave in some budget for housing and meals or for travel in case you do need to go to Washington or any other types of trips. Council is roughly the same. There is a decrease in magistrate pay. This is with paying $325 per session to a magistrate, and we are now we're having court regularly twice a month and traffic camera court once a month. So there is a savings there. Also a significant savings in not paying insurance benefits for the new mayor, which would be an additional $24,000 plus. So. No changes in boards and commissions. We will not have audit fee next year. Administratively, there are not many changes here. Most of those are the same. SCMR, this is where I did make some additions to their budget. For operating supplies and materials, I took them from 45 to 60,000. Fuel up to 25. Repairs and maintenance of building and land from 5 to 10. Repairs and maintenance of machinery and equipment from 10 to 20. And then repairs and maintenance of motor vehicles from 20 to 30. We may have a slight increase in salt. That's something I'm waiting to speak with Rob. I know the price has gone up from the past few years. And we are now with Morton rather than Cargill, who we'd been with for the past few years. So,
right.
State Highway, this 15,000 is just an extra we put in every year. It has been removed from the budget most years. This is for any additional supplies that the service department may need, especially salt, should there be an overage. We got to have that. Everything else, and then you'll see under the special bond retirement fund, that's where you're seeing the 1.6 going back out, plus the interest of 2% that is paid on that. So 1,621,800. And then our, I can start changing these names. I think someone had brought up they're confusing. One says Dunham Sanitary, one says Dunham Road Water Main. These are truly just, we don't have them separated out by projects. These are all of our OPWC loans that we're paying on, which are for about six different projects at this point. Speaking of which, I will have to mention to council, I do need a decision very soon on if you will want to proceed with the funding for Alexander Road for next year. I received a call today, and we are in danger of losing this grant if we do not get the paperwork moving forward. This is for a $200,000 OPWC loan at 0%. So we'd be paying that beginning in 2020. The work will be completed in 19. Our first payment will be in 2020.
That was the one we talked about last month when Joe Gelati was here.
Right.
About, it was what, $20,000 a year?
$10,000 a year. In debt starting in 2020. So it's a $200,000 grant and $200,000 loan and $159,000 grant. So this is something that, I'm sorry to put the pressure on, but we do need to make a decision very soon.
Right. Katie just got the call today, so I wasn't able to tell you. She basically told me right before the meeting. But we did talk about it, so it is something that we need to, and I told Katie I'm sure we can wait till next week to give them, so it's something we can all communicate
and talk to Don.
This is from Walton Road here to Northfield.
Yeah.
What we talked about.
Well, what is the drop dead date?
Not to be a dead horse, but again.
Before we lose
the racetrack.
We're probably past the drop dead date. We need to get it passed next week at the very latest.
And then Dunham Road was the one we haven't gotten the grant. We gave us permission to apply, we applied for it.
Do we need to have a special council meeting next week after the COW?
Well, I was telling Katie we're probably going to have a special council meeting because we're going to have an executive session. So that would be an opportunity if we didn't need to pass anything for this. It's something we'd have to ask Don to see if we need to pass anything. But we're going to have, if you agree to an executive session, we would have a special council meeting anyways. So there's an opportunity, to have. I think it's one of those infrastructure, from the mayor's point, and just listening to Joe and Don and talking to him, it's one of those things. We got the grant. We applied for the grant. We applied for well over a year ago.
Probably, yeah, it has been.
They gave it to us. We should get it. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
Too bad we couldn't get the first side roads, but they just don't give grants and money for our secondary roads. People think, well, you're looking at, I drive down Alexander, doesn't seem so bad. But it is bad, and it gets torn up quick because it's a major freeway. I know, Fred, you mentioned that, believe me, it gets me mad when I think about the casino and what Mr. Newhouse, what Northfield gets. But this is in front of us, so something to think about. I'd like to see us, go for the accept it. We talked about it before, and it's long.
Let's make Alexander a toll road.
Yeah. Again, it's a benefit to them.
We know that, Fred. We all know that. I wish we hit. But it's also a benefit to our residents and other
residents. Oh, absolutely. No,
I mean, it needs to be done. I wish you could say, let's not do it and force their hand and say.
No, you know, you know how I feel. It needs to be done.
I know that.
And all the way down, you know, that hill. I went over and looked at Dunn Road Hill. Well, I'm talking about Alexander Road Hill. I'm talking, you go down and look at that, just look at it close.
Oh, yeah, you mean, right.
So. And Rob, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, and Rob even mentioned the fact that that road in the wintertime, you know, and I'm talking about Alexander, that
right.
You know, how bad that is, and it gets torn up even more, you know, with the plow and stuff. So you have to work that hill more than most areas. So
that's our main thoroughway. We have one road to our beautiful little village, and it's important. I mean. That we maintain, and it's nice. So, but I think we're okay till if we get something verbal this week, if we all want to call Katie or myself, we'll put out an email.
Yeah.
And if you want to agree to it through an email before, we just need a verbal, just so we can tell them thing. But we can think about it.
You know, I think we should do it. I mean, we lose a lot of money if we don't do it.
Yeah.
And Alexander's horrible, and that. In that space we're talking about.
Well, we don't have to pay, start paying until 2 years. And by then,
right.
I won't, I feel confident that Ford will have sold their property.
Yeah.
And we should be getting something in. So I don't think, I think we need to do something.
I feel confident that we'll be getting some from the racetrack too.
And the racetrack, yes.
$359,000.
That's
grants, according to Katie.
From only OPWC, there is another grant coming from Cuyahoga County as well, so we would be losing out on that portion also.
Yeah.
And then the part we'd have to weigh out in 2 years, let's say we weren't any financial, just look at the worst, we're not financially any better, but the road's worse.
Oh, that's good.
Then what do we do?
Yeah.
And then we don't even know if we have that grant at that time.
And they frown upon it when we don't take it.
Right.
Remember that was discussed.
Right.
That they frown upon it when you don't do
oh,
not
yeah.
take it
oh,
when
yeah,
it's offered.
Sure. So
I don't know.
$10,000 is not a burden on the budget.
Let's do it.
In my opinion.
Mr. Mayor, well, I was just going to say that I'm looking at the bottom line surplus deficit on the very last
Brian,
page.
Brian, don't take away my closing expense.
And that's not until 2020, anyways.
Yes, two more years.
No, I'm talking about, well, the 19 budget that we're going through. I won't mention it, but that
spoil
number.
My surprise.
That number includes the $200,000 sale of the service garage, which
yes.
may not happen.
Yes.
More than a 50% chance that it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it won't happen, but
yeah.
maybe not next year. So if you take that $200,000 number away, we're close. So,
and
the mayor said, if we do, if worse comes to worse and we're in no better financial aid or financial situation, and we've got another debt coming up too, which is Dunham Road, and that I believe is $20,000 a year. So now we're going to pile on $30,000, and yeah, we have these things in the works, but. Right now, looking at that number, that's the only thing I bring it up for food for thought,
yeah.
that we are close, we're balanced, but we're close.
Right.
So, and we know that things always happen. So, if worse comes to worse, we need to be prepared to do something to address that and not take another deficit because our unencumbered cash is very low.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to... I would be willing to vote for this because we do need the road, but we need to, if worse comes to worse, we need to act on saving our money. And if that means whatever it means, I don't know. But
no, Community Day another year.
Correct.
$20,000.
Community days, $20,000 in there, you know, whatever. We're going to need to, we're going to need to act.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, some, you know, but I just bring that up for food for thought.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
But also remember, just I was extremely conservative on the amount because with traffic cameras, we don't know what's going to happen. We're also on the low side with our income tax collection.
Right.
And then I also, once if you look into capital, we have decreased a bit with our engineering, the amount that we've been spending with them. It was getting pretty high, but it's coming down to pretty normal levels. And there's $500,000 in there for the intersection project, which we are going to go out for bids very soon, so we'll know how much it's going to be. We won't accept any bids until next year and encumber the funds then for the intersection of Northfield and Alexander. So we are in a great position that we did not have to spend that this year, but we will have to next year. So that it may not be 500, it may be less, but that's in the budget as well. So that does put us, but like Brian said, if it doesn't sell, but it does show us having a $257,000 surplus at the end of 2019.
I'm optimistic. I think there's going to be more.
There you go.
I hope so.
I like the positivity.
I hope so. I hope
I'm also have an umbrella and I'm joking over.
Thanks.
No. I had to say something. No, you've got to be positive.
Yeah. So if you look at our report through October, not just the revenues expenditures, if you look at the report 52, you'll see I did all of our transfers that we had scheduled. All of our accounts are in positive balances right now. And our unencumbered balance currently is $795,000. And I think we're going to stay pretty close to this number to close out the year around 1.3. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But things are going, I know I should be more pessimistic. I can be, but I feel like we are trending in a very good direction.
Yeah, I feel so too.
Things are, I'm cautious, but things are turning around and I feel that we're doing very well.
I mean, and I'm not going to paint a picture unless I really know a thing. I know we do have a conversation coming up with Ford Motor Company, a follow-up conversation next week. Ford Land, so that's a positive thing. Hopefully we'll get something positive out of that. I'll be able to share with everybody. I'm also meeting with Integral, and we thought that some things were that you know, they also own a business in Twin, you know, they're building in Twinsburg. We thought some things might be moving there, but actually we have a meeting with them, and he put in his email, the president, that he wants to talk about good things in Walton Hills, Northfield Road. So we're going to meet with him. I think I'm meeting with him Thursday.
Yes.
So we'll see what comes out of those things, but it seems like it's some good, good positive things. I don't know yet, but he did in his email mention some expansion, so that's a good thing. Because if they're not going to do it, he certainly isn't going to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually Jason Thomas, who's the president of Integral. So, and I am going to talk to him about maybe having us all go out there, go to Integral and see if, you know, walk through. He's actually coming here. I kind of wanted to go there. That was his choice, so I certainly don't want to. But maybe as a group, we'll go there and see what's, I'm going to ask him about that, if we can get a walk through there and, you know, see what the business is like and just kind of get a feel for it.
Katie, I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
On the budget through October here, the second line item, it says electric tax. Is that number correct, 28,000, and how is that so? different from the budget of $2,500.
I'm going to have to check and make sure something wasn't posted there accidentally, and if it's not in the correct line item.
Okay. One other question. Is there a way, for lack of a better way of saying it, to like clean this up, like take out all of these line items that are 000 for how many years in a row? I mean, we have whole issue, like issue 1 and 2. In the last, you know, 4 years, those have all been zero numbers. Is there a reason we need them in there? I mean, is there an amount of time that no money's been appropriated in that line? Is there an amount of time where we can just eliminate the line?
I can. It's just a sake of continuity for historical data that we keep on record. But I don't have a problem working on condensing it to a more pleasing
Well, can you just hide it in the Excel spreadsheet? Just hide. It's still there, but it's hidden.
Yeah.
It won't print.
I'll work on.
I'm just asking for and just all the printing and all the more paper and stuff. That's all.
Did you
do some more, Katie.
Did you
get that?
That's
what I was thinking.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
It's all good.
You can
here, like, under service department. All of these are.
Oh, I know. Oh, 134.
134. We did receive the check for it.
Yeah, so it is in the bud. It's in the report. Which has been.
So now our community center costs about $265,000.
That's less than some houses.
Right. That's doing, to tell you, that is doing real well, too.
Rentals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're out to, and that's something I'm going to share with you. Sandy's going to get me a sheet. Lisa did pull up something. Believe it or not, she just put this in my mailbox today. But I want to get to, just to show you the rentals. They're already in the 19. Look at 19 there, looks like, all the way to the end of 19. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Probably about 20 rentals for 19. It's doing real well. In fact, we're probably going to talk a little bit about increasing the amount, bring the council, for non-residents.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're probably okay leaving it. Since we increased a lot of things on the residents, it's kind of a nice perk that they're getting it for a good price. People just love it. And but it seems, even from Sandy says, that we're getting non-residents come there because we're too cheap. Well, you don't want to be too cheap. You want to be, at least be competitive. So there is some money there that we can probably think. So that's something to talk about, too. I kind of wanted to show you. I was just shocked by
the amount.
Yeah, the amount. Let me ask you, are you done, Katie? Would present?
Pretty much, yeah. And then, I don't know if you want, we'll go back.
Yeah, we'll go back to the agenda and stuff.
Sure.
So we got time, we're going to be looking at this budget. As far as next week, Do you want me to bring in the department heads for the budget, or do you want to wait maybe till November when we start really getting dissecting about it? And it's something you can. I kind of in the staff meeting I kind of prepared them that we might be asking them to come next.
Well, I don't
Tuesday.
No, I'm going to stay out of it.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not going to be.
Brian's
here.
Not going.
I've got training.
I think having the department heads there when we're talking about it would, or at least. Maybe the possibility of tasking the department heads with what can you cut from your budget?
Right.
What would you project if we asked them to cut 10% or 15% or 20% from their budget and to see what their ideas would be? They're the ones running the departments.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it wasn't
so they would be the ones,
right.
I think, best suited at deciding, where some of those cuts can easily be made in their departments.
Which we always have. I guess what I meant, I know we were talking about having them here to answer questions for other things. Because really, probably, if it's just going to be the budget, thinking about it, probably should go into, because they just kind of, we're just kind of
I just finished this. They haven't reviewed it yet.
Sure.
They've got a copy that I haven't.
Not yet. I just finished it.
That's the only thing. We probably should give them a little more time, maybe. They're used to it like more in November, like when I said that.
Yeah, this
yesterday, she said.
You can do that.
I had talked to Don about the service department, and maybe before we have them in, maybe as a council, we could take a ride up there to the service department and have a walk through the garage and look at the equipment and let Rob explain to you. I mean, it's one thing for him to sit here and tell us that he has a truck that's 20 years old, but when you start going up there and going through the equipment and you see it, I took a ride up just to look, and there's going to be some money needed there soon. So just a thought. I mean, I'm new here, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad
no,
idea.
No, no, no.
I think it's a good idea.
Look. I don't know.
Well, let's think. I'll think about it. But if we didn't have them here for the budget, because let's say they weren't ready for the budget, would you want them here anyways? I guess I know we were talking about incorporating maybe to come, or we can have them at the council meeting. But I didn't want to have them come if it wasn't
necessary.
Just to be here.
Yeah.
Because if it's a report, we can read their report. But if it's something where we're going to pick their brain, you know, and like what you're saying with the budget, which is important, because then you get the feedback from can I cut that or not, you know, which is important. I think for the budget, we, you know, having them here is not a problem. But do you think we need them here? Because I don't think we have anything right now.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, in talking over the last 2 weeks with a bunch of different employees, I don't know if it's ever been brought up during your meetings with them, the employee meetings, but traditionally the employees felt that they were not supposed to be coming to any of our meetings. And they still, I believe, feel to a degree they're not sure if they're allowed to come to the meetings. And I've told them, well, you're a resident. You're allowed to go to any meeting. So I just ask if the next time you have like an employee meeting to tell them, you know, hey, if you guys want to come up, you've got just as right as any other resident, you know, to voice any concerns or just to be here. Because I said, traditionally they haven't felt that they've been able to, you know, in any way. And I've encouraged them to, but I think they're still kind of like, not sure yet. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a problem there. I just meant, though, in
a formal... No, I know what you're talking about, formally for the meeting.
In a formal way, but I will encourage them if they want to come up, because I know when they're here and residents have, like Rob was here that one day for a couple things, and then the people were able to ask him things. Let's see what ends up on the agenda, and we'll go from there. I did give them a heads up, so they won't be upset if they do have to come.
Well, I think even if you told them, we're going to be going through the budget, if you want to come to hear what's discussed about your department, you know, then you're welcome to, but not necessary this time, because this is really more the meat and bones of what we'll be doing at this meeting.
Yeah, I can give them that option, too. And that way they can get involved. Okay.
And I meet with all the directors one-on-one. We just haven't gotten to that point in the process yet.
Sure.
So this is still a very tentative budget. And then they're all currently, I have told them, let's see what your wish list is. Give us a couple of years out wish list. What type of things that you think you're going to need, what you can wait on, prioritize them. And then we can present that to council.
And I wish the building department was here, because I understand they did a fantastic job with the repairs on the roof here.
That is what I've heard.
Yes.
It's not raining.
Yes, there was water all over the desk right there, right by you guys. You can see all the...
Can you swim?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Learning to walk those lakes.
I heard it only lets loose from... Should I say from here or from here? Okay. Katie, do you want to talk about the NOPEC grants? And is everybody good with the... Yeah. Good night, right? Good night. Everybody good with the budget?
I just have a question, Laura, about the cameras. What about a Northfield Road? Are we talking about putting a camera there?
Well, let's we can talk. What Stan did talk to me and a while ago, and said that the only place besides actually on Northfield would be the west side. You know, coming in from the east, going west. You know, over there by basically by our entrance.
By Best Rewards Credit Union,
yeah,
on
right
Alexander
there.
In the median.
Right there. That when they did the survey, that is one location they would put a camera if we wanted to.
Yes.
Besides actually on Northfield Road. Then we had the, you know, Channel 19 here again, and they interviewed Stan, which I know a lot of you've seen. So a lot of communities are going to it. Mm-hmm. We actually talked about, I think, a neighboring community is so that is something we can talk about. Well, to make compliance, they found a lot of people speeding in that area.
You know, it doesn't cost us a dime, so why not? I mean, that
would
cost
do
us
it.
Anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep us in the news.
Need the money.
Keep people
know.
Talking about it.
Well, it'd be strictly about the compliance.
You really want that?
Yeah. Name the safety.
Well, why don't I do this? I'll have more discussion with Stan. I can bring the camera people in, and it's something Stan said, to talk about that if we want. So we can do that, you know, and then go from there, make a decision. Let me talk to Stan and go from there. But he did mention the other areas like Sagamore, Dunham, they don't want to invest the $80,000.
Yeah.
But he can explain that too. So. Okay. Anybody else? Anything before we move on to the NOPEC grant?
The NOPEC grant, I think I had forwarded this to everyone maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah.
I have a piece of legislation we have to pass in order to accept the funds. I think it's about $9,000 that we have that we can use for, you know, energy saving projects, which Rob has indicated he does have a few light fixtures he would like to change. And then we're also able to use those funds to reimburse previously done projects, which we do have a few projects from the past 12 months that are eligible to be reimbursed for that. So all of the policies, their version of the ordinance, which Bill's going to take a look at and change if necessary, we could potentially pass that next week at the special council meeting as well if everyone's in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially we receive funds for every resident in the community that uses NOPEC, and that's how we receive this grant money.
Do you know how many there are?
I'll have to double check. I don't think I had a number of households, but I can double check.
It's about $9,000.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's...
It's free money.
It's free money.
It's, yeah,
it's
free money.
No,
we like free money.
Free
money.
like the lady said, I'm going up to get a free
book. So we'll put it on the I'll put it on the agenda. I'll put it on the agenda of the council meeting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
next.
Oh, yeah, we could pass it next week if...
Yeah.
We have executive session in that special council meeting.
Yeah.
So we already would be in a council meeting,
well,
so we could pass.
This needs to be filed timely, correct?
Yeah, I think
I
yes.
mean, as soon as possible,
yes,
we
right.
do need to get this
yeah.
in. So
we have to get all this
yeah,
money.
Can,
so
we can do that.
We don't want to lose anything.
Any questions on the NOPEC grant? Go ahead.
Under... This is more other business.
Yeah, I got some stuff. Go ahead.
Kevin Smalley, he's our new First Energy rep. He was, it used to be Terry Killeen, the government liaison. Now it's Kevin Smalley. He did ask me today, he did confirm he would like to come next week just to briefly introduce himself so everyone is familiar with him and if you have any questions for him. So he'll be on the agenda.
Yes, Young Drive.
And we're going to ask them for some money. I think they have some money.
There you go.
Not much. Terrible building, so we'll... But anything on the NOPEC? Because I got a couple things, and I don't know if anybody else for new business. Okay, so under new other business, I wanted to talk about the house, which we did, and we did receive that check, so that is final, which is really good.
What was the final amount?
$134,000 after closing.
After closing.
Everything.
And commissions. Yeah.
And commissions, you know, the real estate.
Katie, do our payments go down, or they stay the same? And because we have this $134,000, that's just going to go back into the general fund.
It would go into the general fund, but the payments for the house, that's part of our yearly debt. Yeah, the community center. Sorry, the payments on the community center are part of our debt issuance every year. So we could vote to pay down a larger chunk of that. Or we can continue on the pace that we're going. So,
do you know offhand what we owe on that?
Like you said,
$520,500. So altogether, we bought it for $450,000. We issued $100,000 in new debt for the repairs. So that's $550,000 total. I believe last year we paid down $10,000, but this year I have to pay down, I believe, $20,000. On that mortgage. Okay. Note, it's not a traditional mortgage. So.
Now this is the big financial question of the day. Dan Pozick, who is one of our residents, who is also the president of the South East Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. which we are an associate member of. We're also a member of the Cuyahoga Valley Chamber of Commerce. We're members of both bodies, both commerce, and they're using our community room down here. He's sponsoring it, which is a $100 fee. He asked if we would have a problem wavering that as a sponsor. In other words, they would advertise us as a sponsor. I think that would be a good thing because there's going to be a lot of businesses there and different communities. I think they're having their annual mm-hmm. land bank or whatever.
And it is a weeknight.
Yeah, and it is a weeknight. You know, we just be wavering the $100, but then they also put it in their thing as we're sponsoring it. Right. You know what I mean? They put our name out there.
That's fine. Put business cards out there for the rental.
Well, exactly. Sandy will be there. She's been pretty active with that chamber, and she was active in getting them to come have it here at our community center. So she will be at the event, and it's a great network working for her. I absolutely know she will be handing out cards to everybody because that's how she has booked so much business is from mm-hmm. all the other events because she's in attendance and she networks while she's there. And
speaking of that, I know we set up that one room, the banquet room, for a business presentations. Mm-hmm. Are we doing more and more of those weekly, you know, during the weekday business presentation
we
events
have not been
over?
Yet.
No. Yeah, see, I'd like to see more of those.
No. Well, it was a small one. We did have a business. Yeah, actually, the business owner lives in the village. Bought her premise, electric or whatever, had a seminar there because of our employees actually went there 2 days.
But not every week. It's not every week that we have businesses in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's trying to do that.
Absolutely.
But it would be nice to see that venue being used for that more and
more. Yeah, it's got to be set it up as a training facility
Absolutely.
For 2 days and brought in techs from different areas.
Wow.
So that and I know that because I was just there yesterday. Okay, so I'm a little further ahead of you.
Well, anytime you can bring people into that facility, they're a potential renter at some point in time.
Sure, right.
Maybe not today or tomorrow, but, you know, so it's mm-hmm. free advertising.
Yes. Plus, we're a member of that chamber.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a member of the chamber,
sure.
So
be nice
supporting and
sure.
wavering the you know it's the Southeast Chamber, which
waving, not wavering.
Wavering. Oh, there you go.
Just waver the thing. Don't waver.
It's like my daughter going to fix me up. So the members of that is Bedford Heights, Oakwood, Maple Heights, Walton Hills, and the Garfield Heights. those are our neighboring communities that support that chamber. And then, of course, we're members of the Cuyahoga Valley, which is Brooklyn Heights, Cuyahoga Heights, Independence, Seven Hills, and Valley View, and Walton Hills. So we're members of all of them. So if you're in favor of that, I don't think we need anything for that, just a verbal.
That's fine.
Everybody good with that?
Fine.
Okay, I'll give Dan a call and let him know. And
this is once a month that they meet?
No, just one time.
Oh,
this
so
is
they're having a clam day.
Oh. They're having a clam day. This is their no.
I'll be there.
Yeah. This is their once, one shot deal. So, good. Thank you. I'm sure he'll appreciate that, and the organization will appreciate that. We already talked about an executive session for the next meeting, and that's to talk about some employees. Everybody good with that? And then we'll be in a special council meeting. We can have legislation then. That we have there. I don't know if anybody else has anything to talk about under new business.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I will not be at next week's meeting. I have training at work, so I will not be there. And then the last 2 weeks, we're going on vacation. Which was planned for about a year now or so. So,
so this is so your last meeting for the month?
For the month. I'm, taking the money and running. but November I'll be back in the swing and everything. And I will obviously keep up with you. And next week, I don't know what time I get done with school, but I may be able to... FaceTime into the meeting. I don't know if Katie's set up to do that or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
But I may be able to do that. Obviously, I know I can't vote or anything like that, but just to kind of pseudo-participate a little bit or listen in to what's going on, I have to see. I think that would work, but I have to see. And another thing that I just wanted to point out that, it's... I can look at everybody in the face here and know that every single person sitting here wants the best for this village. And they're here because they think it's their civic duty to be here. And I take this job very, very, very seriously. And, if I came off gruff before a little bit, I have to apologize, but I'm not going to sit up here and basically be called a crook or that I'm doing anything nefarious and all this stuff. When it came time to do the nitty-gritty information of what's going on financial-wise with the village, that resident was one of the first ones to get up and walk out. Mm-hmm. Okay, but yet he wants us to go over to his house and spoon-feed him information. It really upsets me. I've been doing this, a long time, and I just have to get that out. It's not my responsibility to go to his house or anybody else's house and say, what information do you need or want? And like Fred said, we do talk to a lot of people in this village throughout the course of the year. Whether we want to or not, we're stopped at the grocery store and exactly and everywhere else. And I apologize if I came off gruff. I know I signs of the time. Maybe I'm getting to be a grumpy old man, but I understand. I have to. Residents do have a right to come here and moan and groan. But ask me a question. Ask us questions. Because you don't know the answers, that's fine. I will sit down with anybody, and I know I still have to get with you.
2 years.
It hasn't been 2 years. Come on.
I'm calling you back.
I will say, and I was very generous with that man. I will sit down, and whoever, whatever the resident is. But don't come up here and make accusations and it just doesn't work with all of us, I guess. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hey,
Brian, I noticed he didn't mention any of the residents telling him that they had called us or anything either. So, you know, that goes two ways where that,
well,
they
exactly,
could call us.
Sure.
You know, our phone numbers are listed all over the place. And also another little hint, let's don't tell him about wavering that $100 fee.
I don't think he's going to clam bake.
I did want to mention, you know, Brian, with him, and it, this is just, and most of us probably know this, but this will help Fred and even Jennifer, because I don't think we've been in this position. When you are off, a lot of times if there's something to vote, what the council president or the mayor would do is just kind of email you or call you and say, you know, would you vote for that? Let's say, like Brian said, he'd like to be involved or have his thing out there. And you don't have to do this, but it does work. And we've done it, all of us have done it, where Brian would call me or something and say, Don, I do support it. You can be on the dais and say, you know, I talked to Brian, and he supports that. If he was here, he would vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it gets that, even though it might not be an official vote, it gets that opinion out to the other council people in case they were wondering how he feels, and also lets the residents know that you would be in support of it. So don't ever feel, if you're not able to make the meeting, you can still show your support by, could be any council person, it doesn't necessarily have to be myself or Mary as council president, it could be anyone you feel comfortable with, it doesn't, or, you know, or it could even be Katie or Bill or any of us, just to show that, you know. And I know, Brian, how many times have we, I know I've done that too, if I couldn't make it, but I want to, thing I would say, you know, I'll support it, and that way you know where everybody's at. So that's another option too.
Mr. Mayor, from me,
yes.
Brian, I think Mr. Lawrence was working on a lot of frustration, and I know you are too, and which is what my point was with him, is we're trying to move forward the right way, and he'd been told a lot and had seen some of the old way and yeah. The way things were going, and it's bothered him, and I've had many discussions with him, which I took a little exception to, because hey, I live across the street from you, I talk to you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. But you know, neither here nor there, I think it was just frustration, you know, trying to get answers. Historically, you know, sometimes residents, specific residents, have not been able to get answers that they wanted, you know, whatever the answer might be, they just weren't given an answer. So I think there was just a lot of frustration on both sides. I don't think Mr. Lawrence meant anything as a personal attack, that's just my opinion, you know, but I think there was just frustrations on both sides, and I understand where you're coming from.
Everybody's up, like you said, everybody's up here trying to do their best, but he's looking right at me, and he says, you six, and this is my fourth meeting. I mean, you know, yeah, I take a little offense to that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel. I mean, and we'll adjourn, it's getting late already, but about changing from at large to wards, I just don't see the advantage there, because
no.
I mean, it's something that I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
It eliminates, you know, and it's in some communities people don't like it, because they also say, well, then you feel, well, where do you live? Oh, well, then call him or call her. You know, we're here. You can't ever say that.
People,
you know,
are
all responsible.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody's responsible. I don't know. It's what. That, I mean, you could pick one council person if you feel comfortable with them and kind of make them your go-to person. You know, why not? I mean, that doesn't... But you know what I'm saying, if a person wants that, but at least you get the pick. Where if you just, if you had a ward, you wouldn't have that option. You know, at least now maybe you feel more comfortable talking to you or whoever, you know, because you've got an option here. So
this is Walton Hills. I understand the city of Cleveland, where it's so large, and you need maybe someone who lives in your general area,
right.
When it's so massive. I know they have wards in Village of Northfield. I have no idea why. I mean, it's a one-square-mile community, you know, but I...
It's a voting thing, too. Don't ever... People that... Because I think Brian's right. Bill, maybe that's what
we're statutory.
Right.
We're not
but
a charter
if you do
community.
Have, if you do have a charter and you have that, there has been... things, you're in a small community, you can actually have that same person in office for a very long time just by
like
controlling that small little area.
Hey, yeah.
Where here, you're voted by everybody. It's really, and there's communities that that happens. Because don't forget that now the voting goes just for that person too. Mm-hmm. When you go to a zone, you're just voting for that one person now.
Well, and Mr. Mason, would you be able to check into that just so we do have an answer if it is because we're statutory and we would have to be a charter? Can we just verify that so if, you know, if it comes up, it comes up, we have an actual answer?
See, I can't Stubble anymore. All my family's moving out.
Well, yeah.
I can't control it anymore.
Where they're having a lot of family members. Some communities might have 30 people voting.
Yeah.
So let's say, and you control that. You can go from a father being it to a son to an. I mean, it just is. There's complaints with that too. It's not.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything else?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, go ahead.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitzingle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
I'm always ready to say yes. I feel like I'm still because I don't get the vote, you know.
May one day.
Meeting adjourned at 9:40 p.m. Okay.